is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
How many of you really want to tell him that you love him? I'm going to tell you something you might not know. He really wants to hear you tell him that. Hallelujah. Come on, just stretch your hands to the Lord and just tell him you love him. Come on, just tell him you love him. It's personal. It's your message to the master. You tell him for yourself you love him. All of the wonderful things he's done for you, how he's kept you, never left you, made a way out of no way, opened doors before you, picked you up, turned you around. I mean, he's just been blessing you over and just telling you love him. Come on. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you for this day that you've made. We've made up our minds. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Gracious God, our Father, now as we turn our attention to your word, we pray that the Holy Ghost and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry will meet us in the text, tailor the truth that every hearer's heart might not only hear but see themselves in Scripture. Then, God, give them illumination to the principles that they may practice them for profit and give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And every believer said, amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Well, if you'll get your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts, chapter 4. I just want to set this message up in verse 1. And I just want to walk through these verses, if you will, and through the book of Acts, really just to give you a good understanding of the apostles' courage, of those men that God, through Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, had given them the message and ministry to carry on. And it took a certain courage. And that courage and that anointing was necessary for the gospel and the work of God to be completed in the earth realm. But what you're going to notice is the very same courage that they used is the same courage we use and need to complete the work and the ministry that God has given to each of us. Acts chapter 4 verse 1 says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains, a captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them." You may be seated. I just want to use that verse 1 to help you understand where we're talking about. Now, look at what the word says in verse 1. "And as they spake unto the people," as they ministered unto the people, "the priests," look at who came now, "and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came up on them." That means they came against them. Now, one of the things you're going to note is that everybody in the church isn't necessarily on the Lord's side. And here's some pretty powerful people in position who were against the gospel being presented to all mankind. Now, one of the things that I want you to see is, again, we're talking about the apostolic courage, the apostles' courage, that they use, not just in this chapter, but throughout the book of Acts. And we'll walk through some of these and just share some things. First of all, I want you to see that they had the courage to preach doctrines that were despised. Doctrines that were despised. I want you to take these notes, because God's going to use you to say some things that's not going to always be sweet. God's going to use you to teach against some things that are going on and going to get you in a place, in a position where you're going to have to be his voice to speak against some things that are not right. So you need to understand, you got to have the anointing of God and the assignment of God on your life to be able to speak the courage that God requires of the believer, because he has anointed you to do so. Verse 2. People. Now, who's being grieved? The priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees. All of these folk, they were supposed to be religious folk, but they grieved that the apostles taught the people. Let me tell you about error and the enemy. He does never, ever want the preaching of the gospel that's true, that is liberating, that is capable of delivering and setting men free to be preached freely, because when that happens, bonds are broken. I mean, fetters and tethers are torn apart. People are liberated. They're able to think outside of the box. They're able to see who they really are in God. They can never see themselves the same way again when they begin to see themselves the way God sees them. And so people who are not for what is right don't want right teaching to be taught. Don't want right preaching to be preached, because the people will no longer be in darkness. I've got issues with people and preachers who set up in a church and don't open up their Bibles, don't search the word like the Bereans to see whether or not the preacher is preaching right or the teacher is teaching right. Listen, it is your responsibility, for the word says that you are to study, 2 Timothy 2:15, to show yourself, thyself. You're not studying to show me nothing. This is all about you. Boom. This is all about you getting what you need underneath the skin. This is about you being empowered. This is about you understanding so that you can open up the word and search it for yourself and get continual illumination and understanding to practice the principles and profit from them. And so one of the problems with the church was, in that day and time, the gospel, this liberating good news, was being preached and bringing folk out of darkness into light, transforming folk mentality and causing and creating them to lose all of those shackles that they had and the bondages that they had, and were able to move into the arena of the faith realm that God wanted them to be in, and thus have the things God wanted them to have, and the people who held them in bondage didn't like it. So look again at what it says. It says, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now here what this simply means is, if the one that they crucified did not stay dead, and he got up just like he said, then it made everything he said and he had done before he died so powerful and prolific that what he would do after he died would be greater than what he did before he died. And so if that was ever a time and a reason to believe in him, it would be even greater after he died and got up than it was when he first just walked here on planet Earth. And he knew that if these people got the revelation of this, I think R.W. Shambach said it best when he said, if your problem isn't bigger than the resurrection, you ain't got no problem. In other words, if your problem is not able to be harder for God, and that Bible says, is there anything really too hard for him to do? If he could raise Jesus from the dead, don't you know whatever you're going through, dealing with, handling, suffering through, God can handle that too? Now I got to ask you again, if your problem isn't greater than the resurrection, which is based upon all of our salvation when he died and then he rose again, he brought a fullness to the manifestation of the salvation experience as it related to his part. And so that means very simply that because what he has already done for us, we now have the right to live in that victorious power. And you start telling some folk that's got some issues that your issues ain't really no issues if they're not greater than the issue Jesus had, and I was getting up 3 days later and he did it. Just like he did it, what the word is saying, you can do it too. You can do it too. So notice here, he had the power, the courage to preach doctrines that were despised. But then you're going to see something else, because I want you to look in verse 11 and you're going to see, because we're just moving through, we're not going straight through. You're going to see here he had the courage to rebuke sinners in high places. That's the 11th verse, Acts 4. Look at what it says. It says, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. And look again, I want you to see the 5th chapter of Acts, verse 30. Still talking about rebuking these folk in high places. Verse 30 says, the God of our father raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Now, I want to share something with you now, you know, because we're just walking through this and just showing you the courage of these apostles. But one of the things you need to know is the same people that they were afraid of before the resurrection and before they were filled with the Holy Ghost, now they are speaking authoritatively and powerfully with all boldness to the same folk that they were running and hiding from before they became filled with the Holy Ghost. I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. When the Holy Ghost fills your life and controls your life and lives in your life, you're no longer concerned about your life, because you know he's in control and he has the power to back up everything God's word says. So you boldly go where he wants you to go. You boldly say what he wants you to say, and you say it knowing it's not your words, but the words of the Lord through the Spirit speaking it through you boldly. You don't have to be apologetic about what the Lord said to say. Well, I hate to tell you all this, but the Lord said, you can't do this, my brothers. And all that, all this, and all that. And, you know, people look at you like, what?
What?
Sit down somewhere. Okay. And you go sit down. No, no, because you got to realize it's a spirit controlling people. And you're really not talking to the people. You're talking to the spirits that control the people. So you can't talk to the spirits all timid.
That's right.
Our spirit, come out of here. That spirit of life, come on out. That spirit of Antichrist, come on out of here. No, you got to speak with boldness and authority. You have the authority. The Holy Ghost is the power that's going to overcome every enemy, every situation. And these men were not afraid to tell people in high position, in high places, who were potentates and authorities in the religious realm, that just because you got the position don't really mean you got the power. I got the power, and his name is Jesus. And the Holy Ghost makes it so real that whatever is spoken through the authority of the Holy Ghost is brought to pass by the Holy Ghost's power. So that means you ain't afraid to tell folk who are sitting high. You might be sitting high today. But the Lord told me to tell you one thing. If you don't change your ways, you're coming down. I wish I had somebody. And you don't tell nobody that they can hurt you. Because if they don't like the message, they can get rid of the messenger. But not under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the power and authority that was real in the apostles and was real in the believers today. But I want you to see something else. They have the courage to speak the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. Listen to what Acts chapter 4 and verse 20 says. For we cannot but speak. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I know you might not like it. I know you might not want to hear it. I know it don't fit conveniently in the plans that you made up. But I got to tell you what I heard, and I got to tell you what I've seen. And whether you like it or not, God has told me to say this to you. Now, here's what you need to realize. When you speak an authoritative word like that, you might not know what you're saying. But the people to whom you're speaking know it's like God is speaking right to them. And they're like, well, I was about to do it, but God is already, I'm taking my hands off of that. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going in that direction. I heard the voice of the Lord. God will show you some things. It'll either confirm what God has said to you, or it'll turn against the things that you want to do that are not like God. And so when you speak that word, listen, we cannot but speak. In other words, we can't help ourselves. We got a case of I can't help it either. I got to tell it because I'm responsible for it. And you might miss a few church Sundays and stuff because you're mad with me for telling you what God says or not. But I promise you, his word is still going to come to pass. And if you leave here and God want to, listen, he can take a crooked stick and still hit a straight leaf with it. You run from this church to another church, he'll have a preacher preach the same thing to you at that church that I preach to you. He'll make you know it ain't the preacher, but it's God himself. I wish I had a witness here. Listen, just to confirm this, look again in Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. They had courage to speak the whole counsel of God. They had courage to give the directives as God said. They had courage to teach the word the way God said. They had courage to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Come on.
And I got to tell you, that takes courage. Because I don't know how y'all really perceive yourselves when you get the truth sometimes. Sometimes I wish I just had a camera from the pulpit looking at your faces and how messed up they look when the Holy Ghost is stomping on your toes. I wish you had a camera to see a picture how you look and see how ugly your faces get sometimes.
Yes.
When the truth is going forth and you look at me like, I'm saying it.
Go ahead.
Preach, you look at me like, you won't do something to me. Anointed to say it so that you can look on top of this. Much of what he uses me to say, he's already told you, and you didn't want to hear it, so he publicized it, put it in a place and put it in your ear so you cannot deny it is God. You know it's God.
Come on.
But if you got half a bit of sense, you don't get mad with God, you try and get mad with me. Jeremiah had that experience. And God said, don't you worry about their faces. He said, I'm going to make yours harder than theirs. He said, I'm going to show you I'm the one in control. And you got to look at it from the natural standpoint. How many folk you know, even from coming up from child, have been scolded, corrected, chastised, etc., and they got it laughing and smiling? It's unnatural. So I understand. It just helps me to see where you are when the Lord is preaching the whole counsel of God in the house of God to the people of God, and the men of God had courage to say what thus said the Lord. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't love you the way God wants me to love you if I wouldn't tell you what God told me to tell you. You see, the Lord loves us enough to tell us what he wants, what he thinks, how he feels. He loves us enough to show us where we are and then give us hope to show us where we could be. He has that kind of love in his heart for us to be able to minister to us in spite of us. And listen at this. It's been said of true preaching. It's one thing to love to preach. It's another thing to love those to whom you preach.
Yes.
And I love you enough. I don't care if you get mad with me for a minute. Because that's all you can really do it if you're really a Christian. You know, you get your little attitude, get mad, get talking about me and all the rest of that stuff. That's all good. But as long as it helps you in the end, as long as you like the prodigal son come to yourself, as long as you realize I said it because I love you and I wasn't saying it to tear you down. I wasn't saying it to break you up. I wasn't saying it so that it would make you disgraced, but rather to build you up and to help you to see what God wants you to see and help you to know what God wants you to know. As long as you come to that conclusion, you'll be all right. In the name of Jesus. Listen, They had, again, the courage to stand in the midst of persecution. Look at the 8th chapter of Acts. The 8th chapter of Acts. One young man by the name of Stephen. Look at what the word says again. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. When Stephen knew that they were going to stone him, Stephen lifted his eyes off of his enemies and up to the Lord, and God showed him a great vision. And even in his standing against those who were persecuting him, he had the courage to stand up, not run, not tuck his tail and run, not hide, not try and, you know, talk his way out of a dying, but he stood in the authority of God's word, God's will, and God's way. And though they stoned him, his body never knew any of that, because his spirit had left his body and had already gone and made his transformation to the Lord. But he had the courage to stand up in the midst of persecution. You know, a whole lot of us can stand up as long as it's good things being said about us. A lot of us can stand up as long as nobody is opposing us. A lot of us can stand up and represent the Lord as long as it's not too many against us. Some of us can stand up in courage and say what thus saith the Lord as long as it's not going to have an ill effect on us personally. But when you put all of that together, the only way you can stand in the midst of persecution is to have the courage that God gives to every believer to stand in the anointing of the assignment that he has placed upon your life. You can't do it unless the Lord is in you. You can't do it. Peter tried to do it without the anointing. When Jesus was telling the disciples, this night all of you are going to be turning your backs on me, you're going to look the other way, you're going to be fearful of me, you're going to be fearful of what they're going to do to me. And Peter said, not me, Lord. Come on. All of y'all are going to be ashamed of me. Peter's like, no, you got the wrong one here. I'm going to be right there by your side, Lord. I'll die with you. Okay, Peter. Tell you what, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter no doubt looked at the Lord like, you don't really know what you're talking about. Because you don't know I'm a fussing, cussing, fighting preacher. Man, I pull a sword out. I wish they would try to touch you, Jesus. He talked all that smack in the room. And you know how folk talk smack when they ain't got no enemies there to face. And Peter got scared of a little girl who recognized that he was one of the followers of Jesus. I mean, he got afraid of men and women who didn't even have no weapons. All they did was spoke a word. You were with him. And Peter three times denied the Lord, cursed, and ran out of the court. And he remembered what the Lord Jesus said. But the same Peter, after the resurrection, when he had been filled with the Holy Ghost, when the day of Pentecost had fully stood up boldly in front of the folk he was running from before and told them, what you did, God saw it. But not only did God see it, but God changed it. And you can't do nothing about it. It's all in the second chapter of Acts. Just read it. And he boldly went there and spoke to them, because he had then the courage that comes only through the anointing that God gives you for that assignment. Look, I want you to see something else. They had the courage to live above the fear of men. Let's look again at the 5th chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. They had the courage to live above the fear of men. You know, men try to make you afraid of them, especially if they're bigger, powerful, got a little power, got a little money, got a little influence. They try to make you afraid of them. But look at what Acts chapter 5, 29 says. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than...
Come on,
yeah. cut my salary, might fire me. I understand. You know, you got your people out after me. I understand that you don't like what I'm saying, but I still can't do what you want me to do. God has already told me to do this. And see, when they said that we understand your position, they heard what the men said to them, and yet in spite of that, that declaration is, listen, we ought to obey God rather than men. We're not afraid of you. We're not fearful of what you can do. We're not saying you ain't got some power, but we're connected to the one who has all. Listen at that, because this is important. Look back at the fourth chapter again and verse 19. Acts chapter 4, verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. He said, listen at this. I want you to see this again. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. In other words, he's saying, listen, I mean, it's not my place. I'm only responsible to do what God's told me to do. If you think I'm wrong for doing what God told me to do versus what you think I ought to be doing, then you be the judge of that. But I got news for you. I ain't got no other choice. I'm going to do what the Lord says. Now, if you think I'm wrong for doing, I know what your church rules say. I know what your government says. I know what your power says. But I know what God's word says. And you might not like me, but I got to answer to God. So you judge whether I'm right or wrong based on the word of God. Hallelujah. Some of y'all ain't shouting this morning. I think y'all got some issues with the word. Listen at this. I want you to see something else. As you keep walking through this word, you're going to see that they had the courage to risk their lives for Christ. Now, a whole lot of us will raise up Jesus, but we ain't going to risk our lives for Jesus. A lot of us will talk about the goodness of the Lord when it's good to talk about it when we got some amens. But a whole lot of us ain't going to talk too much when y'all get quiet. See, when y'all get quiet, that makes me talk louder and longer. Because I don't want you to miss it. And I know I'm in the house when y'all get quiet on me. But let's look, if you will, at Acts chapter 15. I want you to see this again. Acts chapter 15, verse 26, talking about they had the courage to risk their lives for Christ. Acts chapter 15, verse 26 says, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen at this. And if you go again back to the 20th chapter of Acts, not only did they risk their lives, but we get in Acts chapter 20, and I want you to look at verse 24. It says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with you joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Listen at this. Now, this is powerful.
Yes, Lord.
Because they're saying, you know what? The assignment that God has given me in the natural realm, sometimes in this natural realm, brings me to a place where I could be killed, I could be hurt, I could be maimed, I could be done wrong. But you know what? Listen to what he says in this verse. But none of these things move me. You see, because he knows, if the devil knows your weak spot, then he'll magnify your weak spot so that your weak spot will move you in the wrong direction. See, listen, if he knows you don't like apples, he'll stack apples on around your doorstep. Give you apple candy, apple pie. Just apple, 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 apple. Because it'll move you in the wrong direction. Put an enemy, an authority, a power, a thing that you hate, a thing that you're scared of, and it'll move you. You walk down the street, you're scared of a snake, put a snake there, you go. Or turn all the way around. Some folk are that way about lizards. Some folk are way about cats. Some folk are way like that about dogs. Some folk are way that way about men. Whatever it is that you're afraid of, if you're afraid of it, it'll move you.
And listen at this, it's generally in the wrong direction or the opposite direction or not in the direction that you ought to be going. Listen at this, he says,